I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. Jesus' name. Amen. John 3:16. How many remembers John 3:16? I want to talk to you this morning about why I love to give. Why I love to give. Don't you just love giving? Doesn't it make you feel good? That's my first reason. It makes me feel good. Because you know why it makes me feel good? Because it adds value to others. When we give into the kingdom, whether it's a mission, whether it's going to keep the building open, God's house open, or the lawn's looking good, or whatever it's going for, it makes me feel good to give. And sometimes, if you notice, we have to wave the guys down because they see you out here giving, and they forget about us on the platform giving, so we're like, psst, psst, hey. And then they get two or three of us, and then there's some more over here that need the offering. So you guys might just watch us a little more careful, because we like to give because it makes us feel good. And so that's one of the reasons that I believe that giving is so important, because what it does for you, it makes you feel good. It adds value to others. And I believe this, that I'm most like God whenever I'm giving. Because John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Not just... And here's what makes me feel good, is when I give a good gift. You ever notice that? Some places when we have a, when we take an offering, I notice people still putting dollars in. Remember when you used to make $20,000 or $18,000 or $15,000, you put a dollar in, and when you make $30,000, $40,000 or $50,000, everybody knows you're supposed to increase your dollar. Isn't it amazing sometimes how the habits of receiving is we put more emphasis on that than the habit of giving. And so I love to give a significant gift. If we're going to give a mission gift, I like to give a significant gift, because God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. How many knows when He gave His only begotten Son, it affected all of heaven, because now Jesus wasn't going to be there. He was going to be here, and He was going to go through a process, and then He would go to the cross and He would die. And so it started the process, but it bankrupted heaven literally when He gave His only begotten Son. So I like to give a good gift, because when I give a good gift, it makes me like God. And it makes me feel good. If you're able to pick up the check, doesn't that make you feel good? If you're able to bless somebody that has a need, doesn't that make you feel good? Because it's adding value to people. Adding value to people. And so I love to give a great gift, because it makes me feel good. In fact, 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. And so I don't like giving token gifts to make me just sort of feel good. I like to give good gifts to make me feel really good. Number two reason I like to give: giving blesses me today and for all eternity. Now, Jesus is talking about a man here that things has a hold of him. And he's talking about somebody that's placed a lot of value on things. And I thought, that sounds kind of like me. I mean, just places a lot of value on the things that we have. Americans, man, when you travel across the country or out of the country into third world countries especially, and you see the poverty. Samuel and Kendra Luna was here last week from the Dominican and talked about one of the things the men do for recreation and men time was just grab a live chicken and throw it over their shoulder and march into the jungle and roast their chicken. And I told him, I said, I want to do that when I come back to Dominican. I want to just get us a live chicken and march off into the jungle and cook it. He said, well, we could do that in Minnesota. I said, I don't want to do it in Minnesota. I'm going to do it in Dominican in the jungle. And so we're going to kill a poor chicken and go eat it in the jungle when I get there. But this guy had things, and he had it had a hold of him. And this is what God told him in Matthew 19:21. He said, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, And he's not saying that we won't reach perfection here, probably on this side of glory. John Wesley believes that you can, one of his books is Reaching Christian Perfection and Achieving Christian Perfection, whatever the wording is. But he believes there are a certain few that will achieve Christian perfection on this side of heaven. I'm not so sure we ever get there. But he said, if you want to be complete, Jesus was telling this guy that was so attached to his things, he said, if you want to be complete, and it means in labor is one of the things it means, and what you do. How many knows it's really fulfilling? I mean, great to have a job where you're fulfilled. Where you, one of my grandkids asked me the other day, said, "Papa, do you like pastoring?" I said, "Yeah, I love pastoring." Well, he said, "Well, why?" I said, "Because that's what God called me to do." He said, "Oh." And I hope that's the way you feel about what you do. But giving, when we give, affects what we do. It affects everything that we are. And it says it affects your growth. Complete in growth. And that is who you are. And then mental and moral character is what you will become. So it affects what you do, who you are, and where you're headed. Giving does. He said, if you want to be complete in all these areas, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And so what it does, giving says, it'll benefit me today in my personal growth, and it'll benefit me in eternity when I get to heaven. And so that's the second reason I like to give, because it blesses me today, and it blesses me for eternity. The third reason I like to give, it reminds me that my heart is in the right place. Did you ever notice that? It's not when we're getting. You can't tell what your heart's like when you're getting. Yesterday we took a little boy's day out and took the grandsons out and fed them and went fishing. And then we bought them some shoes. They're called the, Heelys? Heelys. I mean, that's what a Heely is. I thought maybe it's a shoe that held your feet or something, but it's not. It's got a little roller skate in the back of it. And so you're supposed to, you walk along, and then you get on your heels, and you can just slide along. They can't do it yet, but, you know. In fact, I told Jan, I said, we need to just wait till they're with their parents. That way, if they fall and bust their head, it'll be on them and not us. But it blessed me to bless them, because I wasn't really going to get them Heelys. I thought, you know, they don't need Heelys. They were, you know, a little more expensive than just tennis shoes. They were just boys that just need shoes. And I said, did you ask Nanny? And they said, well, if we ask her, and she says yes, can we? And I thought, well, I guess so. And so as soon as she came out, she was getting her eyes looked at, checked, and she came out of there and was in the mall, and they said, Nanny, can we have Heelys? And she said, oh, yeah. Yes! Yes! And so I thought, well, if it means that much to them, you know, but that's what giving does. You know, giving, it reminds you that your heart's in the right place. You're blessing someone else, and it's about, not about me, but it's about someone else. And so it's a time when I can reflect on what my purpose is here for. When I give, it means, it teaches me and reminds me that my part on here is to add value and to bless others. And so Matthew 6:19 says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroys and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys or where the thieves do not break through and steal. And it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I heard a really great story about a man that talking about wealth and giving and heart being in the right place. And this is one of the best I've ever heard. It was a very wealthy businessman and had given millions of dollars to the kingdom. And in an interview that a reporter was doing, because the stock market had taken a tumble and he had lost millions of dollars, and the reporter asked him this, said, do you ever regret giving all that money away? And I thought this was a profound answer that he gave. He said, no, I don't regret one dime that I gave, because I never lost a penny of that which I gave. I only lost of that which I kept. And I thought, now that's a giver, isn't it? And that's the way it is with us. I mean, those, we'll never lose anything that we give. In fact, God said, I'll bless you when you give. But he said he only lost that which he had kept. The fourth reason I like giving is because it brings blessings and keeps me from taking a lot of unnecessary hits in life. Now, if you think these are pretty fleshly, they are. But I'm just telling you why I like to give. I like to give because it brings blessing to me and it keeps me from taking a lot of unnecessary hits in life. You ever feel like you get more hits than most people in your life? It may be connected to your giving. And I think we'll all take hits. Nobody's going to be immune to hits. But I think there's a lot of people that take hits that don't really supposed to be taking this certain hit because they don't learn how to give. Let me show you in Malachi, the third chapter. That's the last book of the Old Testament. He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me in this, even in this whole nation." It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse," and tithe just means tenth, "into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." And this is God talking. "And prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I want to open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." So it brings blessing when I give, but then it also keeps me from having unnecessary hits in life, whatever that may be. And I think that's in any area, relationships and finances and health, whatever it may be. But in verse 11 it says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail," and that word fail means to miscarry or abort, "but to be fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord." And so it keeps me, I love the blessings it brings, and I like the fact that it keeps me from taking unnecessary hits in life. Number five, the fifth reason I like to give, giving starts the receiving process. There's another selfish reason, isn't it? But how many knows it's all tied into the Word of God? Giving starts the receiving process. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you, good measure." Everybody say, "Good measure." Say, if you're a good giver, you get a good measure. "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will he put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." I heard a person in ministry the other day, they said, "You know, we just go around ministering and we don't expect anything in return." And I said, "Well, you need to change your philosophy. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom." When you give, now it doesn't mean that we deserve any of it. But what it means is our Father has made us a promise to give to us and to bless us. How many knows if you make your children a promise to bless them if they do something, how many knows they are expectant little children? I told mine the other day where Mark came out and was doing a little electrical out my house and had a light switch almost burned my house down, I guess. Jana said, and I told Mark, she was so calm, she said, "I think our wall socket's on fire." And I was in bed and I jumped up and I grabbed my glass of water beside the bed and come around there and she said, "Don't pour it on there, it's electric." And I thought I was going to give it to you and let you pour it on. No. But it's a glass container and I was just going to move her away. But usually she's the one that panics and says, you know, the house is on fire. But she was so calm, and then she was kidding with Mark later. She said, "You know, we'd have been a lot better off if it just went and burnt down to the ground." You know, and she was kidding. She was kidding. But I think when he was out there at the house anyway, and I'll finish the story before I go on the next point. But my grandkids, "Papa, can we go fishing?" We just stepped outside to get some materials, and I said, "No, not today." I said, "But Saturday, I'll take you fishing." How many know Saturday came what they were expecting? Yeah. Guess where we went yesterday? Fishing. Yeah, we took them. That's the last thing we did. We took them to the mall, took them lunch, took them dinner, took them fishing. It's an expensive day to yesterday. But they received because they expect. I mean, your kids, when you go to the mall, they'll expect stuff. I mean, when you walk in Walmart, they expect stuff. Yeah. My kids came in from Japan and they asked the other day when we were out shopping and, you know, and in the mall, my daughter-in-law said, she calls me Pop and calls Jana Mom. She says, "Mom, when Jakey was little, did he always want a gift? She said he got a toy almost every time he went in. Back then it was TGY. She said, my kids always think every time we come in the mall, they need something, you know. It's because we teach them to expect that we're going to bless them. And so he says in verse 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So he not only blesses, but reason number 6, it blesses God when I give. God loves a cheerful giver. When I give cheerfully, it just blesses God. I thought about some of your children, and in my case, my grandchildren, whenever they have a candy bar or a sweet or something they're eating, and they have a friend come over and they want to share, you ask them to share. How many know sometimes it really shows what's in their little heart, doesn't it, when you ask them to share? You know, you'll tell them to share their candy bar and they break off a little corner or something. Does that really bless you? Huh? Can I show you something? When you reach in, and here's our candy bar on Sunday, and you reach in, you know, and you got a 20 and a 10, and then you reach out and you get a dollar. It's like breaking a little candy bar, corner that candy bar off and putting it in. But that's the way they are, isn't it? A lot of them, you know. And you say, well, that's not enough. Give them some more until they break off another little corner. You know. But doesn't it bless you? Doesn't it just bless you when they reach out and they just break off a good half of it and just hand it over to the other child with a good attitude? Or you know, when some of them finish their dessert or finish something, they say, you can have some of mine, you know? That really blesses me. How many knows it just takes something away from the moment when they share, but it's after you pried it out of their greedy little fingers and they're screaming and kicking and crying. It just takes something away from the effect. And that's what God is saying. God loves a cheerful giver. And when we give because we love God and we love giving, that's the way He looks at us. And it blesses. And one of the few things I know that we can do that blesses God is give with a cheerful attitude. Went to a church one time and they said, it's time to give. And the people just stood up and started crying. Woo! Woo! First time I ever saw that, I thought, now that's weird. And then the guy got up and said, God loves a cheerful giver. You sound like cheerful givers. Let us pray. And I thought, that's the secret. God loves a cheerful giver. And they were cheering that they were able to give to the kingdom of God. And so I love to give because it blesses God. Number 7, I like to give because it's better. How many likes better? If you're going to a movie, you like a better one or a worse one? If you're going to go out and eat a steak, you like a better steak or a worse steak? If you're going to go out and share an evening with company, you like better company or worse company? Yeah. How many just likes better? But giving is just better. You say, better than what? It's better than receiving. It's better to give than it is to receive. Acts 20:35. That's what Paul said, Jesus said. It's better to give than it is to receive. A lot of us don't believe that, but it is better, isn't it? Because when we receive something, you know, it lasts for a little while. The feeling lasts for a little while, doesn't it? But it's all about us, and it's about intake, and it's about what I get and what I receive and what I'm getting. And when we give, it's all about what somebody else receives and what we've done for someone and how we increase value to somebody else. And that's why it's just better. It's better. It's better to give than receive. And that's why I love to give, because it's better. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe it because I know someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to have treasures laid up in heaven. And I know someday when I get to heaven and I get my rewards, I'll be amazed, I believe, because God is just bountiful in His blessings. How many knows the stock market can take a turn and nosedive and go down, but never will it go down in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, the Bible says that we're going to walk on streets of gold. Gates of pearl. I'll tell you that story, I think I did, about the guy that, the three New Yorkers that went to heaven. Remember that? Did I tell that? No? Well, three New Yorkers died and they went to heaven and they're standing at the pearly gates and they says, But as St. Peter says, we all from New York, we died in a car wreck, can we get in? He says, well, I don't know. So we never had a New Yorker up here before. I tell this joke at a conference I preached at one time, and two guys from New York wanted to take me out back when I got through. And so anyway, they came up and they said, he said, I don't know. So we've never had any New Yorkers up here, so I have to go ask God. And said, just stay right here. And so he went and he says, told God, he says, hey, we got three New Yorkers. They said they died in a car accident. Wanted to know if they could get in. And God said, well, I guess so. We've never had a New Yorker up here before. Might be kind of fun. Just let them in. So St. Peter left, and he came back in a little while, and he's out of breath, and he said, they're gone. They're gone. He said, all three of them? He said, no. The pearly gates, they're gone. That's a terrible joke, isn't it? Terrible joke. But just think about it for a minute. Streets of gold and gates of pearl. Heaven is never going to be bankrupt. And every time I give, it's like making an eternal deposit in heaven for what I'm going to receive. And I want to have, when I get to heaven, I want to have a lot. And the reason I want to have a lot is because I think, well, he said when the elders fell off their chairs and they bowed down and worshiped God and they cast their crowns before the feet of God. And I like to have a big crown, wouldn't you, to be able to cast at the feet of God. Wouldn't that be cool? Don't you know it'd be kind of embarrassing for people, little bitty crowns that never gave? One man, he come up, and I was preaching about that one day, and he said, this is years ago, and he said, it doesn't say we'll have a crown. It said the elders had a crown. I said, well, he loves me just as much as the elder, and I'll probably have a crown too. It doesn't say he won't give me a crown. Huh? I mean, please, if he'll give it to one, he'll give it to you. I just think he loves me because he loves a cheerful giver, and I love to give. I think sometimes God pairs us up too, in where we can keep each other in balance. Because I am a cheerful giver, and I love to give. And sometimes I can be a little too giving. You know what I mean? And my wife is a good balance in that. So I think God puts people together that's got the good, cheerful heart about giving and saying, just, you know, give it all. And one of them says, well, how are we going to eat next week? And the cheerful giver says, oh yeah, I guess we ought to keep a little bit of that, hadn't we? So if you've got that in your home, it's okay. It's just a good balance. It gives you one that's just a... And she's a cheerful giver, but she's got a... You know, she keeps me in check in that area. Just like she does with the kids when they were at home. She kept me in check with that area. But God loves a cheerful giver. And it's just better to give, he said, than it is receiving. The last reason I like to give is because... You know what? Giving is biblical. It's what the Bible teaches us to do. Look over in Leviticus, the 27th chapter. And this is the only thing that I know of that God says, you know what? When you give the tithe, he said, when you give the tithe, it's not just a tithe and it's not just money. In fact, it's the only thing that I know of personally that he says, when you give this, this is special. You know, and when we pay our tithe, there's just something about that God, it does something to the heart of God, I believe. Because watch this in Leviticus 27:30. He says, all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it's what? It's the Lord's. And not only is the Lord's, but he said it is holy to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. Not only is it the Lord's, we're just giving it back. That's why we call it, we pay our tithe. We don't give our tithe, we pay our tithe. Because it's the Lord's, it's the requirement that he put on here, tithes, 10%, and then offerings. But he said it is holy unto the Lord. See, I don't know anything else that we can give on this planet. Even Paul said, if I give my body to be burned and don't have love, I'm nothing. And so our righteousness, the Bible said, is what? Filthy rags. So I don't know anything else we can give that when we give it out of, except for the tenth, that when we hand it over to God, he looks at it as holy. I believe he looks at it as holy because he said it belongs to me. That's my part. That's what I've ordained for me, and I think that's why he does. But as far as I know, it's the only thing that we can give back to the Lord that is holy. Now here's why I love to give It's biblical, and it keeps me in good standing with the Lord. When I don't pay my tithe, I'm keeping God's portion back. And that's why I love to give. I'll never forget when this first became a reality to me, I was about 25 years old, and we'd just come out of just really living our own lives. We weren't bad young couple, you know, but we'd go out and party and stuff like some young couples do, and probably visited places that the atmosphere wasn't godly, you know what I'm saying? But when we came into the church, and I'll never forget, as a young businessman, and when that hit me one Sunday morning for the first time, that God said to give the tenth, and He was going to receive it as holy unto Him, I thought, wow. And I went out and I told Jana that morning, and we really didn't know much about the Bible, so this was really a true revelation to me. It's just like God just kind of opened my eyes to see this truth. And I said, we're going to start doing that. We're going to start tithing. And so we went home and we got our checkbook out and our little calculator, and we figured up, and I think it was like $50. You know, the first week, and this is, you know, 26 years ago or so. And so we've sat down, and she looked at our checkbook, and she was keeping our checkbook, and so she looked and she said, well, if we give 50, we won't have any money left for groceries. I said, well, let's give it anyway. And she said, well, what are we going to do? We don't have any money for groceries. I said, oh yeah, we got Kim folks. That's what I told her. I said, we got Kim folks. I said, we'll go borrow some money. And so we, you know, her sister and brother-in-law lived up here, and he was a high roller, is what I call him. He was a gambler and a bookie and all that stuff, you know, as a brother-in-law. He was, way back then, he was in the news. How many remembers Pody Poe and all that? Well, he was one of Pody's connections. So he had money. Yeah, I'll just rob from him, you know. But we gave $50. And so I went over, and his name was Charlie, and I said, Charlie, can I borrow some money till I get paid next week? And he said, sure. And so he gave me $50, and I went home and gave her the $50. But see, it wasn't mine anymore. It finally come to realize that God said, the tithe, the tenth, is, you know, whether it's the seed, it's your check, whatever it is, and they farmed a lot back then, so it's their produce, their lambs, whatever they had for income. He said, whatever it is, that belongs to the Lord. And when that dawned on me and hit me, then my first week, I thought, wouldn't you know it, just the first week, you know, we can't do it. And then the thought come to me, yes, you can, do it by faith. And so I didn't know much about the Word, but when God made that a revelation to me that morning, I went out and we gave our first $50 the next Sunday in tithe. And I thought, wow. And I can't describe to you how that felt to know that we stretched out and gave that first real tithe to God. I mean, that's how important it is. It's just real to me today as it was when I gave it. And it changed my whole way of thinking. It changed everything about the way I felt and the way we served God. And it just did something for me. And then the next 2 years, I made probably more money than I'd made in the last 10 years, because God began to bless my business. I'm talking about unnecessary hits. In fact, you know, the Bible talks about when we don't take care of God's house, we'll develop a purse of our own that has holes in it. And so we think, well, I can't stretch and give, but really what we're saying is, God's saying, and what the Word is saying is, you don't have to stretch if you don't want to, but if you don't give, you're going to take some unnecessary hits. Because you can't rob God. And so that first time we tithed, God just began to show me that I'll meet all your needs. I'll meet every need you have. Now, let me say this. If you go out in the business world and make some bad business decisions, even as a tither, He won't intervene sometimes. Huh? It's not saying, I don't want you to go out and think, you know, well, as long as you tithe, you can just go out and do whatever you want. I didn't learn that at all. What I learned was this. If I'm a good steward over what God gave me, and I'll give what God asked me to give, then He'll bless me. That's what He's promised. It's biblical to give. And those are the 8 reasons why I love to give. And I hope you do too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the word that teaches us that you love a cheerful giver. Help us today in the illustration I gave about the kid to say, this is the way I look at you. When you share what I've given you with a joyful heart and a good attitude, that blesses you. You love a cheerful giver. Lord, I pray for those that are here today and they're struggling financially. Teach them how to be good stewards of what you've given them. And as Americans, God, in a land of abundance, teach us how to live with a little less so we can give a little more. Because we have a problem, Lord. And that's with sharing the big end of the candy bar, or keeping the big end of the candy bar for ourselves. And so work in us and help us to be good givers. Help us to give because it's biblical and it pleases you. And it brings blessing to us when we're obedient. And help us to give with a great heart, knowing that when we give, it's going to add value to someone else. Do heart surgery on us today in our giving. And help us, God, to be faithful givers. Help us to be channels for you in our finances. Help us to be blessed so we can be a blessing. Help us to expect because you told us to expect. So we can receive and we can be a bigger blessing tomorrow. Flow through us, Holy Spirit, in our time, in our talent, and in our treasure. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for your glory. And Father, I ask in the name of Jesus for those that's taken unnecessary hits today because they've not been tithing. I ask in Jesus' name that you'll make it a revelation to them like you did to me. And begin to bless them as they reach out and stretch out and begin to give their tithes and offerings. Give them the faith to step out and to do that in their lives. And as they do, just begin to bless them in abundance in Jesus' name. According to your word, according to Malachi 3:8. And thank you for reminding us, Lord, that you love a cheerful giver. May we give every gift with a heart of joy and blessing. We ask this all and we give it all to you in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here today and you need prayer, the altars are open. Prayer warriors are here and standing by. And they'd love to lift your need up before the Lord. Is there any needs today? It's like to come and say, you know what? I want to be a cheerful giver. Or maybe you've taken a hit and you say, I need prayer today. For my body, for my finances, for my spiritual walk. Any needs today before we dismiss? The altar's open. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Father. Amen. Okay. All right. Is there any announcements this morning that we need to make before we dismiss? When is this? Like to come with Miss Karen, help her with those kids, and Some of us still roller skate. Maybe you just get out there and skate with them. That's next Sunday right after service. Okay. Homemade spaghetti after church next Sunday. Huh? Okay. Cool. Okay. Right here. There you go.
Hi, my name, everybody knows me, I'm Kathy Day, and I just have a testimony to give this morning. My husband went for his treadmill test on Friday. They gave him a clean bill of health. They said his blockages that he has left have not increased, and he goes back in April to get his cholesterol check, so we just need prayer for that. When he goes back, that cholesterol will also be low. And also, I have a testimony of faith today. We have prayed and prayed over my brother-in-law, Jeff, to come to church, and God delivered him to our hands today. We are very grateful for that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.